There is a word from the Lord on today, and it shall come forth from the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the first verse. If you can't find that, show up for Bible Study Wednesday. Praise God, we're covering the books of the Bible and going over, showing folk how to locate them and understand the various books throughout Scripture. Praise God, so make sure that you're there Wednesday night for prayer and leadership training if you can't find that chapter and verse right away. And even if you can, show up. There's always something else you can learn. Amen. Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And of course, we're always reading according to the New American Standard Version. Our secondary scripture is Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse. Genesis 1 and 1, and then Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse, which reads as follows. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And I'm going to read those two together, Genesis 1 and 1 and Hebrews 11 and 6 again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and Hebrews 11 and 6 now, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Our theme and thesis on the series that we've embarked upon is entitled, praise God, Faith and the Kingdom of Heaven. Faith and the Kingdom of Heaven. You can't have one without the other. Well, explain what you mean by that, Bishop Giles. Without faith, not only does the Kingdom of Heaven not exist, but the King of Heaven doesn't exist. Because the only way to receive God as God is by faith. Amen. And if a person is in the Kingdom of Heaven because they have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and by the way, that's the only way to enter into the Kingdom of Heaven, is that a person must be born again. So in receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, a person enters the Kingdom of Heaven. And the only way that that can be achieved is through faith. So our title and our thesis, once again, is Faith and the Kingdom of Heaven. You can't have one without the other. Explained in an analogy, we've used this before, but it's a very good one, so we do so as we open up part 9 of this series. And that is, we said that faith is both the card and the currency of the kingdom. We use the analogy of Sam's Wholesale, that a person is not able to get into Sam's to purchase anything without having a membership card. And once they get into Sam's to purchase something with the membership card, they'll be able to put them in the register in order for the purchase transaction to take place. But if they don't have any currency, if they don't have any money, then they still gonna have to leave the goods in the place. Wow. A lot of Christians, walk with me please, have a membership card. Meaning that they have the membership. But a lot of Christians are walking around in the kingdom of God having accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they don't have any money in the kingdom.
Hey, teach us.
Faith is both the membership and the money. It is both the card and the currency. Well, Bishop Giles, what do you mean? I got a good job. I make plenty of money. What you mean I don't have any money in the kingdom? Please hear me today. Please hear me clearly. Physical money is only one reward and one blessing of one's membership in the kingdom of God. I know there are people who've had millions, hundreds of millions, and billions of dollars who would have given every bit of it just to get up off of a sick bed. Who would have given every bit of it just to have the sameness and sanity of mind. Who would have given up every bit of it just to have the blessedness of family and loved ones who cared for them. Lord, have mercy. So money, physical money, financial money is only one blessing that one is able to access in the kingdom. And I emphasize able to access in the kingdom because the word of God says that all of the silver and all of the gold is mine. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and all who dwell therein. Every bit of it belongs to God. But there are people who are experiencing heartache and heartbreak because they are not using their faith in the kingdom.
Come on now.
Amen. They're not using the currency of the kingdom. There are a lot of people suffering all kinds of sickness and illness and physical ailments and emotional ailments and psychological ailments and all kinds of other ailments because they are not using the currency of the kingdom. God has promised us in his word that he shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. We only get to access the riches of God, praise God, through our faith. God says that we will prosper and be in good health even as our soul prospers, and the only way to gain soul prosperity is through faith in God. Ask Michael Jackson what it feels like to have a life of misery and pain and suffering and agony to where he tries to medicate himself to such a point he does it to death, even though he has an empire worth billions. And you can go to many in Hollywood, you can go to many professional, you can go to folks wherever their wealth has been accumulated from. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are a lot of people that will give up every cent that they have to have what some folk have who may not consider themselves very fortunate because they're measuring it by the wrong standard. Faith and the kingdom of heaven. You cannot have one without the other. Our sub-theme and thesis for today is that the greatness and power of the kingdom of heaven, the greatness and power of the kingdom of heaven, the greatness and power of the kingdom of heaven. And oh my God, how I am so glad to share with you this word today that God has given us in part 9 of this series. Turn with me to Matthew, the 18th chapter, praise God, and verse 1. And we'll be going throughout scripture. If you hadn't learned how to turn to the books in the Bible, just hang around here. You're going to learn real quick because we believe in sharing the word here. Yeah, we believe in teaching and preaching the word, and we take folks to it where they can see it for themselves. Matthew 18, starting at verse 1. Praise God. The scripture says that at the time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted to become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Wow. So God says that greatness in the kingdom of heaven is not measured by how much money a person has. It's not measured by how fine their clothes are, how how they think they're good looking, what, none of those things. God says that the measure, not what cars they drive, not what address they live at. God says that the greatness in the kingdom of heaven is measured by humility. And it's having a childlike heart and mindset before God. Well, what is that, Bishop? Why don't you explain that for us? Because I really want to be great in the kingdom of heaven. I want God to be well pleased with me. And I want to humble myself, as the scripture says. For God says that those who humble themselves, he will exalt. But God says he opposes the proud. He is against the proud, but he says he exalts the humble. Bishop, how do I achieve this greatness in the kingdom of heaven? God says that the way that one achieves it is through a childlike posture and attitude. Well, who are children? See, when children are trusting, please hear me today. Children exert more faith. They have more faith than any adult. In most any case, a childlike faith is the most powerful faith that a person can get a hold to. Because children are trusting. It doesn't matter what whether daddy's the greatest man on the planet or whether mama's the greatest woman on the planet. To them, they're just the greatest man and the greatest woman because they love their parents and because their parents are everything to them. A child has to be taught not to trust. Because they come here trusting. From the moment that they're in a parent's hands and in their arms, they just function. One of the innate characteristics of a child is to come here sucking because there's an innate aspect of survival. And that child is ready to breastfeed from the moment that they get here. Now, of course, parents may not choose that option. They chose by, but the point is that they're ready. And they come here trusting. They put all of their weight in their parents' hands and in their parents' arms. Because they're trusting. Even throughout their early ages, they're trusting. And I'm going to tell you something about faith. Faith sees the best in people. Wow. And that's the way children are. They come here with that the kind of faith that has the hope and the expectation for the best, and they rest everything with their parents. And so God is saying to us that greatness in the kingdom of heaven is to have a childlike faith to where we rest everything upon him. The word of God teaches us to cast all of our cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. A child trusts us to feed them, trust them to protect them, to provide for them, to prosper them. And that's what God expects of us, to have childlike faith, because God says that's what greatness, that's the measure of greatness in the kingdom, is to have the kind of humility and faith that a child has. The scripture also reveals to us concerning the greatness and power of the kingdom of heaven is that the kingdom of heaven yields a great return. Flip over a few pages back, but if you will, to the 13th chapter of Matthew, long about the 31st verse. The scripture says, here in Matthew 13, 31, it says, he presented another parable to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. God said that's what it means to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. That's what it means to live and to have and to enjoy the experience of the kingdom of heaven. A mustard seed, you could put four or five of them on the tip of your finger if it would balance. They're that small. But that little bitty seed, God says, produces a great tree to where the birds in heaven can come and nest in it. Simply because of that little seed. And God says, that's the way the kingdom of heaven is. He says, when a person will invest, sow, whether it be through the life that they live, the commitment that they give, the things that they invest into God's kingdom, God says it yields a great return. Yeah, we're talking about the greatness and power of the kingdom of heaven. And that, of course, I brought a statement that faith and the kingdom of heaven, you cannot have one without the other. But the kingdom of God is great and it's powerful. So God says, our little in the kingdom of heaven is always much. Wow. Now, some people focus that a lot of times just on finances. Okay. But listen to me, the kingdom of heaven is more than money. Way more than money. God says, just a little bit of love in the kingdom gets a whole lot of love back. Good God Almighty. Just a little bit of faith in the kingdom results in a whole lot of joy. Good God Almighty. In the kingdom. A whole lot of joy. And if I had time to tell you, money might be able to buy happiness, which is short-lived, but it cannot buy joy. Don't make me get street wise on you now. Huh? It can buy sex, Doc, but it can't buy love.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
God wants us to have the blessings. He wants us to have the love. He wants us to have the joy. He wants us to have the peace. There are a whole lot of nations, especially here in the United States. We at war, seem like the whole world is at war with the United States right now. We're worse than a flea-bitten dog. You ever seen a dog that's full of flea? He can't bite himself in enough places to stop the itch, to stop the hurt. Well, that's the way right now we are, because we're out of the will of God. As a nation and as a people, we've gone whoring out from under our God. God says that when a nation, whether it's an individual or a nation, God says that when a people please him, he says he'll make even their enemies to be at peace with them. America's one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest country on the planet. But guess what we found out? You came by peace. May be able to get a whole lot of people to say they're going to show up to war with you, but it came by peace. We thought that giving training and money and resources to the Iraqi army in order to fight ISIS, the folk dropped their weapons and ran home. Lord have mercy. So truth be told, money can't even buy a good ally, because a good ally is a true friend. See, with Great Britain, we don't need any money. Great Britain gonna go to war with the United States no matter what. All these other folk are paid and hired gunmen. God wants us to have the blessings of being a part of the kingdom of heaven. And when we yield just a little bit of faithfulness to God, through our trusting him, through our obeying him, through our leaning and depending on him with childlike faith and humility. God says that it unleashes a tsunami of his faithfulness in our lives from just a little bit that we will place in him through our faith and through our trust. Flip a few pages over to Matthew 17. God wants us to understand the greatness and power of the kingdom of heaven. In verse 14 of that 17th chapter, the scripture says, "And when they came to the multitude, a man came up to him, falling on his knees before him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him.' And Jesus answered and said, 'O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And look at what Jesus said in verse 20. And he said to them, 'Because of the littleness of your faith.'" Good God Almighty. In other words, they didn't even have a mustard seed's worth. He says to them, "For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you." Wow. With just a little bit of faith. Because the scripture reveals that what is impossible with man is always what? Possible with God. And when we exert just a little bit of faith, we move the hand of God to move on our behalf the things that our hands cannot move. Yeah, so great is the kingdom of heaven. Praises be to our God. Not only is the kingdom of heaven, praise God, representative through greater humility, and it comes out with a great return, but those who prioritize the kingdom of heaven, praise God, when the kingdom of heaven is prioritized, it results, praise God, in kingdom of heaven prosperity. I want to say that again. Kingdom of heaven priority results in kingdom of heaven prosperity. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 6. And I'm making it easy for you. If you notice, I keep saying Matthew. Praise God. I know there's some glad folk in here. Say he's making it easy for us. Praises be to God. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. It says here, "Do not be anxious then, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we clothe ourselves?' For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need, or that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." God says that when the kingdom of heaven is prioritized, it results in kingdom of heaven prosperity. Putting God first means God putting us first. Having priority concerning God and the things of God causes God to have a priority concerning us. And if I had time to tell you, I'd stop long enough to let you know there are just some things that we can't do in our lives. There are just some things that our hands can't do, some things our intellect can't do, some things our finances can't do, some things our relationships can't do, some things our resources can't do. And it's just some things that only God can do. And God says that when we have a right relationship with him to where we put him in first place, God says that those things shall be given unto us. Amen. Because he is put first. He gives us a clear understanding of this in Luke, the 18th chapter. And I could have given you a verse in Matthew, but I want you to learn some more verses in the Bible. Luke 18. And just for the record, so you know I'm not kidding you, I could have directed you, praise God, to Matthew 19 and 20, about 21 through 29. But instead, I'm going to take you to Luke 18, 18 through 29. I want you to learn some other books in the Bible other than Matthew. Luke 18, praise God. We might well have some fun with this, y'all.
Praise God. Why not?
Luke 18, starting at verse 18. Listen at what the Lord is saying concerning prioritizing him. It says here in verse 18 of this 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, it says, and a certain ruler questioned him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. And when Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come to follow me. Wow. Let me stop there for just a minute. I'm going to put a pin here where I'm going. Now, see, there's a whole lot of preachers will say, sell everything you got and put it in my bank account. Sell everything you got and write a check to this church and this church alone, and you're going to be all right then. Now, Jesus said, sell everything you got and give it to the poor. Because, see, people's giving is not for the church to be a bigger house or not to buy the preacher a fancier car, or not to put more money in the preacher's bank account. That's not why we give. The reason why people give is to be able to execute ministry. And ministry out of the Greek is the word meet the needs. Now let me stop long enough and say this. The greatest need in the earth is for a soul to be saved. And the soul can only be saved if the gospel is preached. Yeah, that's. But there's also physical needs of clothing and food and shelter and all those kind of things. I believe a church has to be focused on meeting all the needs. But first and foremost, preaching the gospel. Jesus told a man to give everything to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come to follow me. When you meet other people's needs. Let's pull the pin just for a moment. In other words, the Lord was telling him that the only way to enter the kingdom of heaven is to be Christ-centered and not self-centered. Amen. To be God-centered and not self-centered. To have an interest in the welfare of others and not just oneself. So he tells him, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. The scripture says in verse 23, but when he had heard these things, Luke 18, 23, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Please let me stop long enough to say this. Man cannot serve two masters. The scripture says that he will love one and hate the other. He will cling to one and despise the other. But man cannot serve God and mammon, God and riches. Christ knew, even though he had kept all of these other commandments, he didn't commit adultery, he didn't murder, he didn't steal, he didn't lie on folk, he honored his mother and his father. But he was a lover of money and not a lover of God. I got to put a pin here because somebody needs to be helped. The reason why Jesus Christ came is because not a person on this planet was able to keep the law. Not one person on this planet was able to go through their life without sin. And truth be told, each and every one of us, we sin and come short daily. That's why the scripture says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want to embolden us in our faith and not embolden a person in sin. Because some people will hear that and they'll say, okay, great. Hey, look, everybody's sinning, so let me just keep right on sinning. God forbid. Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross and shed his blood that we might have the right to eternal life. That is salvation through him. But it was never his intention that we would use his blood as an occasion to our flesh. What do you mean by that, Bishop Giles? That a person would use the cross of Christ as their legitimacy to continue, or as their reason to continue in sin. He died on Calvary's cross that we might live to God. He died to sin that we might live to God. Not that we might live to sin. For we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and in him alone. Verse 24, let's take the pen of this 18th chapter of Luke. The scripture says, and Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Wow, that's pretty heavy. And they who heard it said, then who can be saved? But he said, the things impossible with men are possible with God. And Peter said, behold, we have left our own homes and followed you. And he said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times as much at this time, and in the age to come, eternal life. I am so glad this scripture is here. Because way too many Christians live their life in what I call this pie in the sky mentality and mindset. Oh, I can't wait to get to heaven. Baby, live on earth. You're going to have all of eternity to live, to be with God in heaven. Live on earth, because the kingdom of heaven is represented in time as well as in eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ says that when a person prioritizes the king and his kingdom, God and his kingdom, he says that they will be blessed in time and in eternity.
Amen.
That's what verse 30 says. He says, who shall not receive many times as much, at this time, and in the age to come, eternal life. God is purposed to bless. He has purposed and promised to bless us in time as well as in eternity. In time as well as in eternity. But let's explain this. Bishop Giles, what do you mean the blessing that blessing comes if folk have left their house or wife? You mean to tell me a man got to walk off and leave his house, his wife, his brothers, his parents, his children? No. The wife, the house, the wife, the children, the parents, the brothers, the sisters cannot be more important to a person than God is. Are you hearing me today? Anything that is more important than God to a person has become their God. If money is more important to a person than God, then money has become their God. If another individual has become more important to a person than God, then that person is their God. But Bishop, how does a person know if that someone is, they're prioritizing somebody ahead of God? Real easy. Real easy. If they're disobeying God in order to honor that person. If they're honoring that person while they're dishonoring God. If they're obeying that person while they're disobeying God. If they're seeking to please that person even though their lives are displeasing to God. Are you hearing me today? That's how a person knows who they're putting first. The one who they're going to give up everything to honor. The one who they're willing to give up everything to please. And the one who they're willing to give up everything in order to obey. Can I give you a picture of this? In the book of Daniel, there were three men who had been blessed with high-ranking positions. One was named Shadrach, one was named Meshach, and one was named Abednego. They were high-ranking officials. They had good-paying jobs.
That's right.
They had position, and they had power, and they had prosperity. Now, you give the average person that, and they're not giving it up to anybody. They'll sell their mama down the street. Before they get that up.
Amen.
But the king asked something of them that would have made that caused them to have to be faced with a choice.
Okay.
Which for them they say it was no choice at all. They said, that's no choice. That's not even an option. What they told them to do was to bow down to a false god. The king had been made an image of himself made of gold. And the king, and they said, and he told them, bow down to this image. Or otherwise I'm going to kill you. If they bowed down, they would have been able to stay in their position, have all of their power and every bit of the prosperity. They say, we ain't even going to give you an answer, king. Folk went and told on them, reported them, say, hey, man, these dudes you got in this high position and with all this power and all this prosperity, those folk won't even bow down to your image, king. And then the king himself confronted them, say, you mean tell me you ain't, look here, when the music play, baby, you fist the dance to the beat that I got.
Jesus.
What he was really saying is, I'm the one who give you the bread you eat.
Come on.
I'm the one who put the butter on your bread. I'm the one who determined whether you get to live or die. And they politely wanted him to know, no, you're not. God is our provider. He is our protector. They said, king, the God we serve can take us out of your, you could punish us. You could assign us to death in the fiery furnace. But the God who we serve can rescue us out of your fiery furnace. But even if he does not rescue us, we will not bow down to a false God because we live and we serve the true and the living God. Not only were they giving up their position, not only were they giving up their power, not only were they giving up their prosperity, their families, their wives, their children. Walk with me now.
That's right.
Everything they owned, they was willing to give up. And even life itself, because God was first place. Or is anybody hearing me today?
Amen.
God was first place. Kingdom priority results in kingdom prosperity. Can I tell you the end of the story? Here it is. The king threw him in the fiery furnace. And because these men honored God, the people who threw them in the fire got consumed by the fire and died instantly. The king got some of his most valiant men, his most valiant warriors, and had them throw them in the fire. And the minute they threw them, the fire killed them. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego went right on into the fire, untouched, unseen. But they were tied up, and what they were tied up with was no longer there. So they were walking around in the fire, and the king looked into the fire, and he said, oh, my goodness. He said, was it not three men that we threw in there? He said, but look, I see there's a fourth man in there, and he looks like the Son of God. Kingdom priority results in kingdom prosperity. The king immediately issued an order saying, get them out of there. Bring them out of the fire. First he was crying, put them in. But when, oh Lord have mercy. But when you put God first, folk will be saying, bring them out.
Woo, hallelujah.
Once they got them out of the fire,
yeah.
The king looked at them. The clothes that they threw them in there with, because the clothes was attached to them. Lord have mercy. Not only were they not burned, nor were their clothes singed, huh? Not even a hair on their head. Can I stop long enough and put a pin here? Because God wants you to know something. That the person who honors God as God and who puts his kingdom first, not only will he bless them, but he'll bless everybody and everything attached to them. Because they put him first. Because their clothes was attached to them, not even their clothes was allowed to be burned. And not one hair on their head singed. When the king brought them out and looked them over, he said, my God. He said, great is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, I'm going to issue another decree. Anybody who speaks a word that is awry, anybody who speaks a word that's against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, good God Almighty, shall be destroyed, and all of their household with them. The king had a new God to worship because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego put their God first.
Hallelujah.
When Christians are Christians,
yeah, come on.
Lord have mercy today. When Christians are Christians, we won't have to worry about trying to get the government to do what's right. Because, see, the king represented the government. Amen, somebody. See, folk made all of this to do about an election and whether a man or a woman or this person or that person gets to be in office. Listen here, if Christians would be Christians, it wouldn't matter who's in office. Not only was the king an idol worshiper, he demanded that to make himself out of an idol and that men would worship him. And you got a whole lot of government folk, elected officials, who's full of themselves.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. You want to help somebody? Amen.
But when Christians are Christians and God is first, the government will worship who we worship when we truly worship him.
When we truly worship him.
Yeah, the kingdom of heaven priority results in kingdom of heaven prosperity. Needless to say, a whole lot of folks were scared. The king showered them with gifts. And their prosperity grew like it had never grown before. Simply because they put God first. Because they put God first. Kingdom of heaven priority results in kingdom of heaven prosperity. But God has to be first. Not only this, but the kingdom of heaven has keys to it. Somebody needs to hear the word of God today. We're talking about the greatness and power of the kingdom of heaven. Turn with me to Matthew, the 16th chapter. I'm still going to keep it easy for you. I'm taking you back to Matthew. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Verse 13 says this. We learn it. God wants us to learn about his kingdom. Because he wants us to learn about him as king. Matthew 16:13. It reads as follows. It says, now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah and one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Wow. Keys. Yeah, we're talking about faith and the kingdom of heaven, and we're talking about specifically the greatness and power of the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in the kingdom of heaven. I want to be in the kingdom of heaven. Ain't nobody going to take me out of the kingdom of heaven, because I'm not going to put anything ahead of God. He says to him, there are keys. And if I had time, I'd stop long enough to let you know that every Christian has keys to the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Every single Christian has the keys to the kingdom of heaven, because the keys gives us the ability to bind things on earth and in heaven. That's what the scripture said. This is what Jesus spoke to Peter. Well, give us a better understanding of these keys, Bishop Giles. What we going to do with them? Please hear me today. We have the power to bind sickness and to release health. We have the ability to bind poverty and release wealth. We have the ability to bind sin and release salvation. Good God Almighty. We got that power. Turn with me to John, the 20th chapter, the Gospel according to John, just a few pages over. John, the 20th chapter, starting at verse 19. And we're going to hurry to a close here. It says here, when therefore it was evening, on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples were therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. John 20 and 21, Jesus therefore said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. Wow. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Everyone who has confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. Everyone who has confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, believed upon him with their heart and confessed him with their mouth, is in the kingdom of God and has the Holy Spirit in them. Please hear me today. We have the power, I said, to bind sin or to release sin. But Bishop Giles, what's somebody going to do with something like that? Number one, they can bind sin in their own life. That's the first thing they do with it. Amen, somebody. Amen. Somebody. Y'all don't think y'all understand me. Now y'all going to make me preach. I don't think you understand me. In a person's lives, in the average person's life, there are generational blessings and generational curses. There are good things that mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa pass on, and there's some bad things that mom and dad and grandma and grandpa pass on. God gives us the ability to bind through the Holy Spirit of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, bind the bad things, to bind the curse, to bind the generational curses. And he gives us the ability to loose the generational blessings because of his shed blood as those who are part of his kingdom. Well, what else can a person do with that, with the keys of heaven, Bishop Giles? Turn with me to Nehemiah, the 4th chapter. I done left the New Testament all together, boy. Some folks going to be challenged. Y'all going to have to go back and look this up later because I ain't got time to wait on you. Nehemiah, the 4th chapter. Yeah, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, and then the book of Nehemiah. It's just before Esther, Job, Psalms, and Proverbs. If you learn the books of Bible, once again, come to prayer and leadership training and learn how to handle that word. Nehemiah, the 4th chapter. Boy, I sure know how to get that commercial, don't I? Nehemiah, the 4th chapter, starting at verse 1. It said, "Now it came about when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. And he spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones?'" That's what these kind of questions, this kind of hoorahing they do. Look like these folk kin to Donald Trump.
Okay, it's true.
I ain't got nothing to say about that. Leave it alone. Verse 3, "Now Tobiah the Ammonite," praise God, commercial break, that man hoorahed himself, hoorahed folk to the presidency. He hoorahed his way to the presidency. I think I'm going to say it again. The man hoorahed his way to the presidency. Talking bad about folk. Verse 3, it says, "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was near him and said, 'Even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down.'" Verse 4 says, "Hear, O our God, how we are despised. Return their own reproach on their own heads and give them up for plunder in a land of captivity." Wow. You want to talk about binding and loosing? In other words, he just bound and he loosed some stuff. He said, "Lord, the stuff that they're trying to send our way to demoralize us, to stop us from making progress, from stopping us from being productive, to stop us from prospering, Lord, the thing that they intend for us, give it to them. Bind it concerning our lives and loose it concerning theirs." Wow. Commercial break. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. But that doesn't mean that the Lord don't deal with the folk, huh, who's letting the invisible forces use them. Are you hearing me today? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. But the folk who sign up for Satan's army, that doesn't mean that the Lord will not deal with them for being in the enemy's army. So the scripture says here in verse 4, "Hear, O our God, how we are despised. Return their reproach on their own heads and give them up for plunder in a land of captivity." Woo! I don't know about you, but listen to me. If I ain't kind to nobody else, I'm going to be kind to Christians. Because the Lord said, "Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." Every child of God is an anointed of the Lord. And even if they ain't a preacher or prophet, they're God's child and they're anointed. I'm going to say again, if I'm not going to be kind to anybody else, I'm going to be kind to Christians. Amen, somebody. The Lord says, "Do good unto all and especially to the household of faith." In other words, if you ain't treating nobody else right, you better treat a child of God right. Amen, somebody. So he says here to them in verse 5 of this 4th chapter of Nehemiah, He says, do not forgive their iniquity. Woo! Say what? Did you hear what I just heard? Did I tell you that there's greatness and power in the kingdom of heaven, and God has given us keys to the kingdom? Wow. He just told the Lord, don't forget a man's sins. Wow. He says here, do not forgive their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before thee. For they have demoralized the builders. That word demoralize out of the Hebrew is the word offended. They've offended God's people. So Lord, don't forgive their sins. Wow. Once again, we need to understand the power that we have to bind sin in our lives and to loose the blessings of God in our lives. And we also need to understand the power of God that we have as a part of the kingdom to be able to fend off the attacks of the enemy by simply putting a boomerang effect on it. Lord, the stuff the enemy send our way, send it back to him. I don't know if you heard. Let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but any enemy who's bombarding somebody with fire and everything they sending ends up back on them, they're going to do one thing. They're going to stop sending fire. Just wishing for Satan to let you alone ain't going to happen. Just wishing for Satan to let up, that's just going to make it come on. Let the stuff start going back in his camp that he was trying to send in yours, and I guarantee you it won't take long, he's going to stop sending it. Woo! I don't know if y'all heard that. God has given us the ability to bind, and he's given us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to say this, and we got to close this out. Quickly, Psalm 69. I'm going to read it, and we got to get out of here and close this thing out. Psalm 69. I just want you to get a quick peek at it. Verses 22-28. I want you to read it, but I'm not even going to read it all. Matter of fact, let's start it for 22. It says, May their table before them, this is David's prayer against his enemies. May their table before them become a snare. And when they are in peace, may it become a trap. May their eyes grow dim so that they cannot see, and make their loins shake continually. Pour out thine indignation on them, and may thy burning anger overtake them. May their camp be desolate. May none dwell in their tents. For they have persecuted him who thou thyself hast smitten. Woo! I don't know if y'all caught that. And they tell of the pain of those whom thou hast wounded. Can I give you modern day translation? Don't kick a man when he dies. David said that I'm a Christian, Lord. And yeah, Lord, you've dealt with me in my sin. But even though God has dealt with a Christian in their sin, he said, David's praying this prayer on them folk because they did two things. Number one, they tried to kick him when he was down. And number two, they were talking about him like a dog because he was down. Huh? He tells the reason. He says, for they have persecuted him whom thou hast smitten, and they tell of the pain of those whom thou hast wounded. If you didn't get anything else out this message today, you be nice to Christians. First of all, be a Christian and be nice to every Christian that you have opportunity to do so, because you trust and obey God. He says here in verse 27, that 69th verse, or that 69th division, he says, do thou add iniquity to their iniquity, and may they not come into thy righteousness. That man then prayed them folk out of heaven. Lord Jesus. Because they then kicked him when he was down and talked about him like a dog to other folk. Huh? Verse 28 says, may they be blotted out of the book of life, and may they not be recorded with thy righteousness. I think somebody didn't heard the word of God today. We thank God for his word. Indeed, it is true and blessed forever. Faith and the kingdom of heaven. You can't have one without the other. And great is the power, praise God, in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, blessed be our God.